1 Corinthians 15, going down to verse 52. I want you to read it with me. You ready? Here we go. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13. I'll read verse 13. I'll ask you to join me in every other verse. We'll go down to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Together in verse 18. Ready? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So just so you understand, when it talks about being asleep in verse 13, and again later in verse 14 about them which sleep. The idea of that is they're dead. Okay, it's just it's a nice way of saying, but they passed away. So that's what it means there. We're going to look at this topic this morning, the rapture. For some, it's old hat. For some, maybe first time you've ever been brought to your attention. Maybe you have some questions about it. Maybe you've heard about it but didn't really understand it. Maybe what you've understood maybe has not been true. And so we're going to look at this topic this morning, trusting the Lord to help us understand it and then see why it's such a foundational part of our Christian life. Let's pray and let's get into it. Father, I pray now that you would help us. Lord, we look to your word. We trust, Lord, that you will use your word to help and grow us this morning. We ask for these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we come to this topic, this subject of the rapture. This topic really is I want you to think about this. It's the most exciting, I think it's one of the most exciting topics for the believer. It's one of the things that excites us, gives us this great anticipation. In fact, often we call the rapture, we call it the blessed hope. Now, the reason we say that, the verse is Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope. Now, well, what is the blessed hope? And that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the blessed hope. This is the thing we look forward to, this thing we think about, we pray about, we're anticipating. Now, many will say, well, the word rapture is nowhere in any of those verses did you see the word rapture. Well, I understand that. But what the rapture represents is found in those verses. If you go back with me to our text and go with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, let me show you what. When we talk about the rapture, maybe that word itself doesn't mean anything to you. You're like, what do you mean rapture? You mean like being enraptured with the Lord, excited about the Lord? No, it's talking about a certain event. And that event is found back in our text in verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Now, who's them? Them are what we refer to in verse 6, the dead in Christ. Now, I don't want to jump ahead on what we're going to talk about in a few moments, but let me just give you a quick understanding so you're not confused. The Bible tells us this event involves those who are saved and have died, and those who are saved and are alive. Both groups, okay? Dead but saved, alive and saved. And the Bible says those who are dead and saved, they've been saved before they died, those will be caught up out of the grave, their bodies be out of the grave and will meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, as they're meeting the Lord in the air, then we which are alive, that's verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, now he's talking about saved people, born again people, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now that idea of being caught up together, that's the phrase that we're looking at that means the idea of rapture. Rapture means be caught up with the Lord. Now, there's a lot to be said, and if you're not familiar, I'm leaving you with a lot of questions. I understand that. And I'll hopefully answer some of them in the message this morning. But that's the idea of the rapture. Now, to be honest, on a Sunday morning like this, in this type of venue, there's a whole lot more to be teaching about the rapture than I can teach on one Sunday morning message. Now, if there's questions, after everything's said and done, the final amen, and everyone's dismissed, if you still have a lot of questions or maybe some interest in the subject, the topic, I'll let you know. There is a CD on the back table. It's called The Rapture of Christians versus the Revelation of Christ. And it goes much more in depth. You can take it home. It's free. There's several of them back there. You can take them. It's something we had taught in an earlier time, much more in depth. You're free to take that and you can listen to it. And maybe it'll answer some more of your questions. Now, let me encourage every believer. If you sit here this morning and you know that when your life is over, you know that you'll have a home in heaven. I don't mean you say, well, I'm a good person, or I go to church, or I've been baptized, or I hope so, or I turn on a new leaf. I mean, you say, I know when I trusted Christ. I know where I trusted Christ. I know that I have a home in heaven. Now, if that's you this morning, let me encourage you to tune in to what we're preaching about, what we're talking about, because this is really our blessed hope as we live in this really a cursed world. Now, if you're sitting there this morning and maybe you have doubts, you say, well, I don't really know. Maybe I've heard about Jesus. I've really not made a decision about Jesus. Maybe I have some doubts whether even I'm a saved person or not a saved person, if I'm born again or not, if I have a home in heaven or not. I have some doubts about this. Let me encourage you as well to pay attention. Because what we're talking about does impact you as well. Maybe not in the same way that would impact a believer, but it will impact your life. So let me encourage you to pay attention. Now, there's three things we're going to look at this morning from our text. Hopefully it'll be illuminating and encouraging, but also hopefully comforting as well. Go back with me, if you will. 1 Thessalonians. No, let's tell you what. Let's go to 1 Corinthians first. We looked at this verse. We looked at just one verse here. And what we're going to talk about first, number one, is this. We're going to talk about what we call the timing of the rapture. Look with me in verse 52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Now notice, we're talking about the same thing in Thessalonians now. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we, talking about we which are alive remain, and we shall be changed. So he's talking about the same thing, the dead, and then we which alive remain. So first of all, I want to talk about the timing of the rapture. The Bible says this, the rapture occurs in a twinkling of an eye. Anyone know how fast that is? Pretty quick, isn't it? Now, I know some have tried to say, well, it's like, I don't know, whatever. We'll just say 0.2 seconds. The issue isn't the specific time. It isn't like we have to measure in some type of minute time. The idea is that it's instantaneous. It's in a flash just like this. The idea is this, that you would see them, you would blink, I don't mean a long blink, you'd blink and they would be, boom, just that fast. In a blink of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, this rapture is going to occur. And so that's what the Lord is emphasizing here. He talks about the dead in Christ and then us, and both of it is instantaneous occurrence. The dead in Christ and then us instantaneously being raptured. Now, why am I pointing that out? Well, because in a moment, we're going to try to maybe tip over some sacred cows, some things that we believe that are not true to the Bible, some things we maybe read a book, or we saw a movie, and we have these perceptions of things that are not true. Now, as we get started, let me explain, because, again, this may be all new to you. When we talk about Jesus coming again, there's two parts of it. One of it is this. Jacob, you need to find a seat, and you need to make that seat your best friend. All right. Because I'm watching you, and I'm not even paying attention to what I'm preaching. Now, there's two. You like that, huh? It just comes like that. It's like the word of knowledge. And so, there's two parts of it. There is what we call the rapture, and then over here, there's what we call the revelation. Now, it's important you get this part, because if you don't get this part, everything else I say is not going to make sense. A lot of times what we focus on is on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the physical, visible return of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there's going to come a day when Jesus Himself will plant His feet back upon this earth. He will physically return back to this earth. That's the revelation. He reveals Himself to man again. That's not what we're talking about. That's to happen 7 years after the rapture. That's not what we're talking about right now. Now that event is going to happen, happens after the rapture. This morning we're talking about 7 years prior to that in the rapture of the Christians to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the rapture event is very important. Let me explain a couple things about this. Now, in the Bible, the last book of the Bible, anyone know what the last book of the Bible is? The book of Revelation. And most of what we talk about, the end times, we go to the book of Revelation and say, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But that's all talking about this event in the 7 years after the rapture. So it's after the rapture, those 7 years, to this event. This thing we're talking about precedes the rapture. I'm sorry, the revelation. It comes first. Let me show you a verse so you can explain you're following along with me. Here's Revelation chapter 4. Let me just stop and say this. The first three chapters of Revelation, the word church or churches is mentioned 19 times. It's all talking about churches that exist. Then all of a sudden in chapter 4, verse 1, something happens. Boom! And the word church and churches is not found until the very end when it says, send this letter to the churches. Now what happens in chapter 4 in verse 1? Here's the verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and watch this, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a what? Trumpet! Talking to thee, which said, watch, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter, after the rapture. And so chapter 4, verse 1, is telling us this event happens, and then the rest of the book of Revelation talks about everything happening after the rapture. So this morning we're talking about this event here that opens the door in that way to everything else in the book of Revelation. So we're talking about the rapture event itself. So what is the timing of the rapture? The Bible says it happens instantaneously in the twinkling of an eye. Now, several things is important to understand. Number one is this. The only people who are specifically involved, even though it'll impact everyone, but specifically involved are believers. Only believers are going to be raptured off of the earth. All unbelievers are left behind to endure that 7-year tribulation period. Here's what people say. Well, I know all about tribulation. No, you don't. You don't know anything about this type of tribulation. Because the Lord Himself pours out His wrath upon the earth. See, we live in a world that's being attacked by Satan. But Satan's being held back by the Lord. But during the 7 years, here's what the Lord says. And He pours out His wrath. There's nothing. In fact, the Bible, if we understand what the numbers represent, the Bible seems to tell us that 25% of the world's population will be gone. In other words, if there's 7 billion now, you're talking about 1.75 billion people. I guess that's about 25%. 1.75 billion people being killed during that a reduction of population. So even more than that, going to be being killed. It's unbelievable death and destruction, famine, disease. And so the Bible tells us that we as believers are going to be raptured because we're not have to endure the wrath because Jesus Christ has saved us and we're accepted in the beloved so we don't go through that wrath that the Lord's pouring out upon the earth during the tribulation period. Then there's something else about this timing. And that is this. This is critical. There is no prophecy waiting to be fulfilled prior, because people say, well, the rapture can't happen till... No, you're wrong. There's nothing to hinder the rapture.
People say, well, the Antichrist, well, that's after the rapture. Well, the one world government, that's after the rapture. All the things you're thinking about in end times happens after the rapture. There is not one event, not one prophecy. There's nothing to stop the rapture from happening today. It could happen today. It could happen while I'm preaching. There's nothing to hinder the rapture of believers. So it only impacts directly believers, and there's nothing to hinder the rapture from happening.
Which means this, there's a third idea about the timing. The rapture could occur at any moment. Now that's what you have to keep in mind. Any moment. In the twinkling of an eye. That's exactly how it's going to happen one day. One day, I know everyone laughs and, you know, they always show some cartoon, some guy, long hair, robe, the end is near, the end is near. I mean, they make fun, they mock. Okay, they've always mocked the things of God. But the rapture is going to happen. And all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, we're raptured out of here and the world's going to be thrown into the tribulation period. I tell you, you don't want to be a part of that. That's why we said it may not involve you because you won't be raptured, but the tribulation period will impact you if you're not a believer raptured out of here. So we have the timing of the rapture. Then there's a second thing I want you to notice. Not just the timing of the rapture. I want you to notice this, the reason for the rapture. Now, we could go several different ways. I'm going to try to just stick to one thought about this. I want you to go back with me to our text in 1 Thessalonians. And go back to chapter 4. And look with me in verse number, let's see, let me find my place. Sorry. Verse 13. Chapter 4, look at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In other words, we do have hope. And then look at verse number 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so when we think about the rapture, the Bible tells us that we're told about the rapture and also the reason for the rapture, but we're also told about the rapture for the sake of bringing us hope and us comfort. And we think about the world, for a born-again believer, the world does not offer us much hope or comfort. I mean, if you're looking to the world for hope and for comfort, you're not going to find it out in the world. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. The world is arranged in opposition to the things of God. Now, I'm not saying God hates people. I'm not saying God hates the world. I'm not saying everyone in the world is terrible people. But I'm saying the system, the value system of the world, the priorities of the world, the direction of the world system is designed and arranged contrary and opposition to the things of God. Now, I don't think I'm going out on a limb. I think we understand that, right? Have you ever listened to the news lately? Have you kind of paid attention to what's happening in this world? They're not talking about revival. They're not talking about let's get people saved. They're not talking about, we need to turn America back to God. Now, that's what we're talking about. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about, they're trying to figure out, you know, should a guy marry a guy? Should a guy marry a girl? Should a guy marry a goat? I mean, what should a guy marry? They're confused. They look at the bathroom and say, that's a boy, that's a girl. What am I? I don't know. Let me see. Today I feel like, they're confused about so many things. So the world, by its system, okay, again, we're not anti-people. I'm saying the system of the world, the values of the world, the direction of the world is arranged in opposition to the Lord. Let me show you what I mean by that. In 1 John, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now watch this. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Because a lot of times we talk about Antichrist, we're talking about that Antichrist who comes during the tribulation period. But the Bible says there's already a spirit of Antichrist. Now watch this. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now, already is it in the world. Now, the Antichrist is coming someday, but the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of opposition to God, is already in this world. James 4:4 says this, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world, again, we're not talking about people, we're talking about the world system, is enmity, is opposed, is in a way an enemy with God.
Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. In other words, you can't be following the Lord if you're trying to follow the world. They're opposite of each other. Now some people say, well, what do you think's going to happen to America? Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see the future. But I can tell you this. I can tell you the eventual outcome. Because the eventual outcome of America is the same eventual outcome of every country. God is... Okay, when Jesus comes, He's not coming to fix America. He's coming to rule upon this earth and establish His own kingdom. So all the kingdoms of this world, all the nations of this world eventually are going to be done away with. But I tell you the direction this world is going. Look with me in 2 Timothy. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why? Look at the next verse. The evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse. That's the direction it's going. And so the more we try to live for the Lord, and the worse the world gets, the harder it becomes. So the reason for the rapture is to bring us hope and comfort. Now listen to me. Our hope as believers is not in the next election. Our hope as believers is in the next trumpet sound. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're listening for. Now, there is a hopelessness that is in this world. The financial stress, the political divisions, the human affliction. Now, we're spared in America a lot of it, but if you pay attention to the news, like over in the Middle East, where they're bombing each other, blowing up. I mean, it's hard to imagine, hard to fathom. You go to the store, and someone walks in the midst of the crowd, women, children, and just blows himself up, body parts flying everywhere. It's hard to imagine living in that type of situation. But yet, that's what the world faces. Yeah, I just saw the blurb somewhere over either in Afghanistan or Iraq, some of them blew themselves up, a bunch of people died. Aleppo over in Syria is getting bombed back to the Stone Age, and the ISIS is using civilians as human shields. There's all kinds of human affliction in this world. There is a hopelessness in this world. You say, boy, maybe if we got this party in power, and then they get in power and nothing gets better. Maybe we get this party in power and they get in power and nothing gets better. What if we had all the countries came together? Here's a novel idea. What if every country in the world came together and we had like a world body? And we'd all agree. We call it a united something. United Nations. I know if we had a United Nations, there would be no more problems in this world. Can I tell you, there's still problems in this world. There's a hopelessness in this world. Because it's opposed to the things of the Lord. It's like they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're going against God, who is the source of blessing, trying to look for prosperity, and it's not working. So there's a hopelessness in this world. And the more, as a believer, we hear and see it, the more hopeless it appears. Now here's the problem. As a believer, if we're not careful, we put our hope in this world. We get all caught up in the elections. Now, I already voted because I found I could early vote, and I don't think I'll be in town on the 8th, so I went over to the Lorain County Board of Election. And then I made sure it was the right things I pushed, and then they printed it out, and I made sure it was printed out right, and trust this government. And so I made sure my vote was how I voted. Now, I'm going to vote. I've voted every presidential election since I was 18. I believe in voting. But I don't believe voting is the answer. I believe Jesus is the answer. You say, well, is this world going to turn to Jesus? Nah. But that's my answer. That's my hope. My hope isn't the next election. My hope isn't there's going to be a financial reversal. Now, all that may happen. Okay, I hope America does well. I hope we have good times in the future. I hope all these things work out. But that's not where my hope is. Because if I put my hope in this world, I become hopeless. I become, oh, what's the use? There's no hope. Look, everything's bad. But when I look to Jesus, that's where I find hope. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now he's talking about the resurrection, but I think we can apply it properly to what we're talking about as well. Which means this, I'm not just looking to Jesus in this life, I'm looking to Jesus to get me out of this life. I'm not saying, well, Jesus is going to give me a good job and a good house and a good car and good friends and a good marriage and good kids and good health and good everything else. I'm saying Jesus is getting me out of this mess. That's what my hope is in. There's a hope beyond this world. My hope is not in this world. My hope is beyond this world. Here's another verse. We just saw it a moment ago. Look at it again. Looking for that blessed hope. Now watch this. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Preachers have said this. They said it since I was a kid. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Now, isn't that where our hope is? To get out of this? We're not just saying, I hope God fixes America. Well, I do kind of pray and hope God would fix America. But my great hope is that I'm going to see Jesus. And that's really, really what I'm looking forward to seeing. Go back with me again. Let's look at our text. 1 Thessalonians 4, look at me in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now watch, to meet the Lord in the air. Man, that's where the hope is. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now watch, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the comfort that God offers us. This is a comfort God offers His people. So when I think about my life and things I deal with, here's what I realize. I don't have to plan out the next, I'm 52. If I live a normal, 70, if I live to 70, I have 18 years in front of me. I don't have to sit there and say, how am I going to make it 18 years? If I do this, now, there is a certain amount of wisdom and looking down and trying to make some plans. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what I'm going to fret about. Because I don't know if I have 18 years. Say, well, you may die. Well, I may, but watch this. But I may get raptured out of here today. And that's why I'm not going to get so caught up in everything. Now, I would like to see the tribe win the World Series before the rapture. That'd be nice as well. But then we're ready to go. In other words, here's what I'm saying. I don't know what the future holds. But I don't know what the future holds, but I know what my future holds. My future holds Jesus. I'm looking to see Him. So we looked at the timing of the rapture. We looked at the reason for the rapture. Now I want you to listen carefully to the third. And that is this. The decision before the rapture. We go look at our text again in 1 Thessalonians 4. And notice what it says here in verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Now watch this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, now this is Paul speaking, he's talking about fellow believers. That's the context of what we're looking at. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. All believers gone at that moment. Which means all unbelievers left behind. The decision before the rapture. There's a big misunderstanding, and probably if somehow we did a survey and asked you some questions, probably the number one misunderstanding about this rapture event is what I'm about to explain. Okay? Because people have this perception that is completely wrong, and the reason is because you read a book or you watched, not that book, not the Bible, you read some other series on end times, or you watched some movie, and your perception of the rapture is not biblical. The Bible is very clear about those who are taken in the rapture, believers, those who are left behind, the unbelievers, and how that impacts their life. There's this misunderstanding that, we'll use Brett. So here's Brett. Brett tells me he's a born-again believer, correct? Okay, rapture happens, Brett's out of here. But let's say Brett is really not saved. He's just playing games. He doesn't want to get saved, but he doesn't want his family to know the difference, so he's lying about it. So if people do that, they do that. People sitting here do that. You're not saved. You know you're not saved, but you're not going to ever get saved because you don't ever want to be saved, but you want everyone to think you're saved. That's called lying. Now, all of a sudden, here's what we think is going to happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet sounds. Now, I don't think unbelievers are here, but the believers are here. And all of a sudden, the believers are gone. Boom! Rapture happens. And Brett goes, where'd everyone go? Brett says, it's should have gotten saved. Oh, I'm going to run down to the altar. Lord, please, Lord, I want to get saved now. And then he gets saved. And then he fights the good fight during the 7 years of tribulation. That's the movie. That's the book. That's not the truth. In fact, the truth is very alarming. What happens to those people during that 7 years after the rapture, those who've heard the gospel, who refuse to get saved, are they all of a sudden going to decide now, okay, let's get saved now? I want you to notice these verses in 2 Thessalonians. We read 1 Thessalonians for our text. Notice 2 Thessalonians. And then shall that, and he's talking about, again, the end times. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Now, there's a lot being taught here. That's primarily talking about the very revelation of Christ. But for the sake of time, I've got to focus on what we're talking about. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now watch this. Because they, now he's talking about people, unbelievers, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. He's talking about people who during the tribulation period, they're not getting saved. And the reason is because before the rapture, they heard the gospel, they would not get saved. They go now, because they're not saved, they don't leave in the rapture. Now they're in the tribulation period. Well, what happens to these people? Well, notice what the Bible says. The working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And then look, starting in verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. In other words, here's Brett. Rapture happens. He's not going to say, oh, rapture, I missed it. He's going to say, was it a UFO? Are they hiding? Was it some type of attack by a foreign government? He's not going to connect the dots. Say, why not? Because God's not going to love him. How could God do that? Let me remind you of another story in the Bible. It's called Noah and the Ark. Noah preached for 120 years. You ever hear that story? No one would listen. Only him, his three boys and their wife, Noah's wife, three boys and their wives, those eight, there's only one went on the ark. And then, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says the Lord shut them in. He shut the door. And for 7 days, they stayed on the ark before it started raining. Yeah, I know the picture. Rain's coming down, and he's trying to get on the ark. Okay, again, that's not Bible. The Bible says it's bright and sunny. They come in. God shuts the door. And then 7 days later, when everything goes kaput, and they wanted in, God did not open the door. God has every right in His sovereignty to draw lines and say, you have up until this point in time. And He tells us, for those who've heard the gospel, there's a line, and that when that rapture occurs, you're not going to get saved after that. You say, well, what if I want to? You're not going to want to. I don't understand it all, but I know what the Bible says, and the Bible says, because I understand this part, you can't get saved by your own volition. The Lord draws us. There is a free will, but the free will is in response to God's drawing you. You just can't just get it up in your head and you say, oh, I'll get saved today. I'll get saved tomorrow. No, you got to get saved as the Lord is speaking to your heart. And so the Lord says, that's it, we're done, here's a line. And those who go into the tribulation period, heard the gospel, refused to get saved, the Bible says, look at verse 12, that they all might be damned. Talking about to hell. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. You wanted your sin, you didn't want Jesus, you wanted to play your games, and now it's all coming back on your head. Now, many will be saved during that tribulation period. But primarily we're talking about those who never had that clear presentation of the gospel. The Bible tells us 144,000 Jewish people get saved. There are evangelists who cross the globe. Most likely millions will be saved around the world. But now the gospel is going to places maybe it never had a clear presentation prior to this, which is in many places around the world. So I'm telling you this morning, if you heard the gospel and refused to get saved, your saved ones will be gone. Your saved loved ones will be gone. And you will believe a lie. And you're going to be lost
damned to a sinner's hell for eternity. Matthew 24. Quickly, I'll show you a couple of verses and we'll be done for the morning. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Well, that makes sense. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You can't play games with God. You can't say, I'm going to sow all my wild oats. I'm going to have all my fun. I'm going to play all my games. I'm going to do all the things in the world that bring me pleasure. And then right before the rapture, I'll get saved. If that's what your thinking is, you're going to miss the rapture. And you're going to die in your sin. Because the Bible says, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You cannot outsmart God. You cannot outmaneuver Him. If you hear the gospel and you refuse to be saved, and I don't mean this unkindly, but this is about the best way I can picture it in words. It's like playing Russian roulette with a loaded semi-automatic weapon. You're guaranteed to lose. Let me give you just one more illustration maybe. Tie a couple verses in and bring us to the invitation time. When I was a kid, most of you know my father died when I was 7. My mom remarried. Actually, we married 2 different times. But in between the first stepfather and the second stepfather, there was a short time there where, you know, my mom was, I had a single parent and she worked outside the house like most single parents do and, you know, paid our bills. We were, that time I was like 10, my sister was 11, my younger brother was like 6 or 7 or something there. I was 10 or 11. And so this is when we lived in West Virginia. And my mom, during the summer, and I'm thinking during the summer, no school, which is always a glorious time for every kid. So my mom would go off to work and she would leave, as any mom would do, a leave of things to do. Okay, chore list for the kids. And she'd have this chore list. Now we knew when my mom left, and as any good kid, you knew when your mom came home. You knew exactly when your mom was supposed to be walking in that door. And we knew exactly how long it takes us to do that list. So you know what we did? We measured it out. We said, oh, we got 23 minutes on this list. We got 24 minutes before she comes home. Okay, let's get to it. And boy, we get done, we sit down, and there comes mom pulling in the driveway. And she'd walk in and say, oh, you kids must have worked all day. Well, we did something all day, but the house, everything was done that had to be done. Except one day. You know what? What happened was, my mom only worked half a day. Something happened, and she got sent home. She worked at the restaurant. Something happened in the restaurant, power went off, something. She came home halfway. Nothing was done. And boy, she was not a happy mom. She expressed her displeasure in demonstrable ways with certain ways. Now here's ours, but you came home early! Here's what she said. I didn't say get it done 5 minutes before I got home. I said get it done. And when I walk in that door, I expect it to be done. That should have been the first thing on your mind, not the last thing. Now, can I tell you the same thing as a believer? If we're watching that clock saying, well, I'm looking at the world, I don't think the rapture's going to happen yet. Let me tell you, you are playing with dynamite. Because the Lord's going to come in an hour that you think not, and that you're going to be surprised in a negative, unpositive way, and you're going to be hurting for that. The Bible says Jesus is coming back when we think not. 1 John 3 says this to believers. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. What it means is this, if we really have our hope in the Lord's being raptured by the Lord, then we're going to be living in a way all the time prepared to see Him. Because it would be a shame if I'm doing activities that are wrong, that are sinful, that are wicked, and all of a sudden, da-da-da-da, and next thing I know, I'm looking at the Lord, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be ashamed. So I'm going to live a more pure life if I'm looking for this rapture. Matthew 24:46. We saw this verse a moment ago about so doing. A couple of verses later, says this, blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find
so doing. There's a blessing for believers who are busy serving Jesus when that day comes. Now, let me ask you two questions. Or same question, maybe two different ways. Here's the question. Are you ready? If you're sitting here this morning, are you 100% sure you have Jesus as your Savior? Is there a time and a place you made that specific decision? I'm not asking what church you joined, what commitments you've made, what time you're baptized. If you ask me, Pastor White, are you married? I'd say yes. June 14th, 1986, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Not in this church, but in the church I got married in, 1 o'clock, I was already standing here, looking, waiting, patiently waiting, 1 o'clock. And then they start, ding, 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 whatever the music is, you know what it is. And the fight is on. Da, 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 da. No, that's not right. And so all of a sudden, here she comes. I can tell you where it was we got married. I can tell you when it was. I can tell you who it was. I know that I'm married. You know what? I know that I'm born again. I know when and I know where, and I know who I trusted. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Because when that trumpet sounds, you're going to want to be in that rapture. You don't want to be in a tribulation period. And you surely don't want to have heard the gospel, have rejected it, and then be damned for eternity because you loved not the truth. You enjoyed your unrighteousness. Are you ready? Let me ask you another question. Sounds very similar to the first. Are you ready? You say, well, you just said that. Well, I was talking to lost people. Now I'm talking to saved people. Is there anything in your life right now that would shame you if Jesus came? You know, when you know your parents are gone for 3 hours, you know you got 3 hours to get away with a lot of stuff. But if your mom walks out that door and says, I'll be back in a minute, you're going to be saying, well, I better be careful what I'm doing. Because any minute she's going to be walking right back in that door. So I'm going to be thinking about how I'm living, thinking about what I'm saying, thinking about what I'm doing, because I'm anticipating her return. I ask you, as a believer, are you ready? Years ago, when I had a Christian school, when I was a principal of a Christian school, we had opening assembly, and I would tell the kids this. I'd say, every day you need to do this. You need to stop. And I'd act it out. You need to stop. You need to look. You need to listen. So, you know what we're looking and listening for? We're looking for Jesus and listening for that trumpet. Now, it may have not happened today, but it's going to happen one of these days. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready for that. Let me tell you, this is the truth that should excite us. Boy, we're going to see Him soon, yes. But also should caution and warn us. We're going to see Him soon. We need to be ready for this. Are you ready?